Thanks be to God, and thanks, Holly, for that reading. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Cross Life Church, and also welcome to those joining us online. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage that Holly just read for us. Today's sermon is all about love in exile. We've been going through 1 Peter and been seeing all these different things that Christians are to do in exile. And now we're going to talk about love, and our passage today is all about love and how to give it. There's a Slido as well for questions and comments and for looking at other people's questions and comments and liking them as well. And after the talk, I will answer some of the most liked questions too, if you have any questions about the passage or kind of anything. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into our passage for today, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do love us. Your word says that God is love, that you are love from top to bottom, and that you demonstrate your love for us through the wonders of your creation, through providing for our needs, and most clearly, Lord, we see your love through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. Lord, we pray that we may learn from you how to love, and we pray that we and those around us may be the better for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, the famous passage on love says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." It's a beautiful passage on love, great poetry in that passage as well. You can understand why people use it at their weddings, even though it's primarily about love in the church. But as I read that passage, I can't help but wonder why Paul doesn't also add the words, "Love is difficult, love is hard, love is costly, love is expensive, love hurts, love goes against the grain of who we are." Because I don't know about you, but that is often the way that I experience love. Now, I wish that I did not have to struggle to love. I wish that I could love people, especially strangers, without worrying about whether they could rip me off or cheat me. I wish I could just generously give to others or shout people things without worrying about how much I'll have left for myself. There are some people I wish that I could smile and talk to them and wish them well without having to hide that I feel hurt by them. And I also wish that I could unsay things that I have said, undo things I have done, things that were not loving or helpful for people. I also wish that I was less biased in my love. I mean, I love my family more than other people, and I think that's okay. But even inside the family, even outside the family, you've got to say that in certain times, there are some people who are easier to love and some people who are harder. You've got memes about this. There's the one where the mum says, you know, "I love you all equally," but then says quietly to one of her kids, "It's you, and by a lot." Or when the mum says, "I love you all equally," but there's one photo of the kid, massive, poster-sized, on the wall, and the other kids are on these tiny little passport-sized photos. You know, these are funny and they're amusing because they are true, aren't they? We know that this is what we are actually like when we are not being pretentious and self-righteous. We all know that it is hard to love. And so with all that in mind, being honest with ourselves, the question that we've got to ask is it possible for us to have a love that is genuine and sincere? Is it possible for us to have a love that is not pretentious, not hypocritical, a love that's actually true? Or should we just lower our standards and just give up on that kind of love? The answer that we see from 1 Peter is that a genuine and sincere love is possible. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to chapter 2, verse 3 shows us how. The letter of 1 Peter is written to God's people who are in exile. These are people who are away from their home of heaven. They are scattered throughout the world. But this is the life they have chosen because they are people who love Jesus and have set their hope in Jesus. And it stands to reason that if you are in exile in the world, the place where you're going to find love is with other exiles who are like you, other people who share what you love. And that seems to be the picture of our passage today, that there is a loving community in the middle of a world that misunderstands them and shames them and persecutes them. And I think it might be understandable, therefore, for Peter to write to them and encourage them to love each other, because maybe that's all they've got. He gives a command to these Christians to love their brothers and sisters in Christ. Having purified your souls, verse 22, by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Now, we might get a bit uneasy at a command like that. And I think especially we'd get uneasy at the words earnestly and from a pure heart. You know, how can you command someone to do something earnestly? It sounds like Peter has crossed a little bit of a line here. See, Peter has moved from not just telling someone what to do. This is telling someone how to feel. And there's a wrongness to that, isn't there? It's like someone telling you to enjoy something you don't enjoy, love something you don't love. It's kind of like if you told me, Mike, you are going to watch a Married at First Sight and Big Brother marathon for 24 hours, and you must love it. All right, no worries if you happen to like those shows, okay? Totally fine, you're just different from me. But imagine someone trying to tell you not just to do something you don't want to do. Most of us can kind of handle that most of the time. But someone telling you to love someone you don't want to love. I mean, is that what the Bible does? Does the Bible tell us how to feel about things? Well, there are some clues in this passage that show us that that's actually not the case, and it all hinges on the kind of people who this passage is talking to. Because this passage is talking to people with pure souls. And it stands to reason that a call to love like this will go down easier to a person who has a pure soul, maybe a soul like Jesus, who loved the whole world so much that he died for them. See, pure souls can have that unbiased, unhypocritical love. And that's who this passage is talking to, isn't it? Verse 22, having purified your souls. And I think that's actually similar to what we see in verse 23 when it says, since you have been born again as well. It's the same idea in both those verses. In both these verses, Peter is speaking to a people who have been made new. Having your soul purified, made clean, is the same as being born again. And that is what these people are like. They're already this. It's past tense here. Purified. You have been born again. And you can kind of see the change that it's made in verse 22 now to these guys. It says, now they have a sincere brotherly love. And so Peter is not calling them to love a people that they hate. He's calling them to love a people whom they already love. He's calling them to love when it's no struggle to love. Wouldn't it be great to be like that? Wouldn't it be great to have a pure soul? Wouldn't it be great to be born again, to have that sincere brotherly love, to be the kind of person who can just love from the heart without having to bite your teeth while doing it? Now, how do these guys get that pure soul? How can we get some of that for ourselves? Well, verse 22 says that they have purified their souls by their obedience to the truth. And again, I think it's the same thing as in verse 23. Obeying the truth is the same thing as receiving the living and abiding word of God. It's the word of God that has changed these people. And specifically, what part of the word of God has changed? And verse 25 says, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. You see, the good news about Jesus' death for our sins, his resurrection from the dead, and the hope that we have because all our wrongdoings have been paid for. This is the word that leads to a new heart, a new person being born again for a sincere love. And I think another thing that this passage is saying is that you cannot get this anywhere else. You cannot get that sincere love anywhere else because the word of God, the good news of Jesus, the gospel, it is unique. Nothing else works on our heart this way. Everything else that we could get for our hearts to try and change them, self-help books, inspiring words, psychological advice, counseling advice, YouTube videos, all of those things are perishable. They come from perishable human beings, and they might work for a time, but they do not last Only the word of God is eternal. And that's what it says in verses 24 to 25. When it says, all flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This is something that we all need to hear, and I think especially you plant lovers in the audience. Plants die. You can tend them, cultivate them, even love them, but they have a lifespan and eventually they will die. Yes, so sad. That lifespan is often shorter in our household because often I am the one doing the killing of said plants. But this passage is saying you cannot kill the word of God. You cannot kill the good news of Jesus. It will not die. It is eternal. It lasts forever. It is from the eternal God, and no human wisdom can compare to it. Nothing else is going to change your heart like the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus, received and obeyed, creates a new, pure, and loving soul in people. And I think this is the realization that we need to come to. Is that we often think that pure and loving souls are someone else, you know, someone who finds it easy. We look at other people and think, oh, they must not struggle to love like I do. But the Bible is saying here that if the good news has been preached to you, if you have received the truth that Jesus loves you and has died for your sins and risen from the dead, if you have obeyed Jesus when he has called you to repent and believe the gospel, then you have a pure soul. You have been born again. See, this passage is not just them, it's also us. There is a bit of you regenerated by God's Spirit, renewed by the Word, that has a sincere love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Bible speaks to that new part of us. It encourages us to fan that part of us into flame, just to bring out the love that is already there, because it is linked to Jesus and his great love for all people. You see, God is not so cruel that he just tells us to love and then just leaves us to just do it by ourselves. He provides us with the new hearts, new souls that we need to have that sincere and earnest love. Now, if you have a paper Bible in front of you, you might notice that the passage kind of ends there. There's actually a heading dividing chapters 1 and 2, so it looks like chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, fits in with the next section. But I reckon it actually fits in better with this one, because there's that reference to pure spiritual milk in verse 3, and I think there's that connection. Pure souls need pure milk. And so it goes, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We are born again. We have pure souls before God, but this part of us, it's kind of like a newborn infant. It's young. It's not mature. It's not fully formed yet. That part of us still needs to grow. It needs milk. And when it comes to growing an infant, you don't just give them any milk. Remember when our supermarket shelves were being raided because people were sending Australian baby formula to China? You know, is that still happening? I'm not particularly sure. Is anyone still kind of selling that stuff? Was anyone kind of taken up selling that stuff? I don't know. But you can understand why they wanted it, right? You want the best for your kid. Same for our souls. Our souls need to grow too. And what nourishes our new souls is the same thing that gave birth to our new souls. It's Jesus. The good news of Jesus, the word of God, is what grows our new self. And we've had a taste of that, this passage says, haven't we? Sorry, we've heard the good news of Jesus. We've heard how much Jesus loves us and what he has done for us. Peter is asking us here, have you tasted that the Lord is good? Well, if your answer is yes, then you get into even more of it. What's your favorite food? For me, it is salt and vinegar potato chips. I don't really care about the brand, just salt and vinegar, anything really is fine. I open salt and vinegar chips an embarrassing number of times per month. Why do I keep on doing that? It's because I've tasted that they are good. It's probably a better food that I could use as an example for this idea. You know, I don't want to give you the impression that Jesus will give you diabetes or heart disease, but I think that you get the idea, right? What is your favorite food? What do you just love to eat all the time? There was a time when you had that food the first time. You tasted that it was good, and you just kept on going. Will you do that with Jesus? Keep feeding on his word because you know how good he is. Feed that new, pure soul of yours. Because if you do that, the first instruction in this little part of the passage becomes a lot easier, where it says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. This is the other reason why I think this passage links to the previous passage, is that all these things, I reckon, that we're called to put away here, they're all things that you can have while still pretending to love someone, while loving someone hypocritically. You know, you can pretend to love someone but have malice towards them. You can love someone while wanting bad things to happen to them. You can pretend to love someone but have deceit and hypocrisy. You can pretend to have these emotions that you do not have. You can pretend to love someone while having envy in your heart. You say, oh, I'm so happy for you, when really you want what they have. And you can pretend to love someone, but behind their back, you slander them. You say nasty things about them. But all these things go against a sincere and earnest love. But you might notice that all these behaviors, they're pretty adult behaviors, aren't they? It requires a certain sophistication to pretend to love. A newborn infant doesn't have that sophistication. There's a certain honesty to them. They are guileless, simple. If they love you, they will let you know it. If they don't love you, they will let you know it, right? All that an infant wants is what feeds them. And that's what we are called to be like spiritually. Less complicated, less sophisticated, just a simple hunger for the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the more and more we get that, the more and more we long for that, the more and more we can love those around us, because pure souls need pure milk. And so love is difficult. Love is hard. Love is complicated. But that's only if we approach love from our sinful nature, from our old self. See, God's word doesn't speak to that nature. It speaks to our new self, our pure soul, the part of us that is born again through receiving the good news of Jesus. And if you have believed in this good news of Jesus, then you have everything that you need to love your brothers and sisters in Christ sincerely and earnestly. All we do is just keep feeding that part of us. If you've tasted that Jesus is good, keep feeding on his word. And the more you do that, the more you will grow a love that is pure, earnest, and sincere. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have purified our souls, and by our obedience to Jesus, we have purified our souls as well for a sincere brotherly love. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made us born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And thank you that your word is in us forever. Thank you for the new people you have made us. And Lord, we pray that we may fan this new person who we are into flame. We pray that as we have tasted that the Lord Jesus is good, so we may continue to feed on him, to desire that pure spiritual milk, so that we may grow up into salvation. And Lord, we pray that as we do so, that we may have that sincere and earnest love for those around us, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, following the example of the Lord Jesus who loved us. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.